KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies. It's 35 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 54. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Well, there was mixed news Wednesday evening with regard to the Atlantic Community School District's certified open enrollment numbers. Superintendent Steve Barber reported during the regular monthly school board meeting that while all corrections for the certified open enrollment report are due by the end of today, the official certified enrollment is 1,332.6, which is a decline of 2.05 students.
We had 19 students take advantage of late open enrollment in the virtual schools due to COVID. So our open enrolled out increased by 15 students from last year. Therefore, we are serving a total of 15.5 fewer students than last year.
On the other hand, Barber said there was an increase of 17.8 students, creating a net gain of 86.2 students.
And then another factor to our enrollment numbers, 13 students who took advantage of the homeschool assistance program during COVID. Those students are counted as 0.4 or 0.3, depending on if they had a dual enrollment. Instead of the 1.0.
The superintendent says he's hopeful that once the pandemic is over, those students who chose to receive their education virtually or in another district will return to the classrooms in the Atlantic District. Barber reminds parents also on the board that the parent-teacher conferences will be virtual this semester, except for the IEP meeting at the high school. In-person mitigation strategies will be followed, he said. The Atlantic School Board discussed once again the possibility of introducing a mandatory face mask or shield policy. Prior to the beginning of the school year, the board had an in-depth conversation about the matter and developed a mask policy that stated anyone in grades 6 through 12 are expected to wear masks when social distancing was not possible. Superintendent Steve Barber said given the square footage of both the middle school and the high school, each principal was able to create social distancing in the classrooms and lunch area.
At the beginning of the school year, many students and staff were seen wearing masks in the hallways and other times when people were close together. The number of students wearing masks has declined a lot since those first 2 days, while many staff are still seen wearing masks.
Barber said also the standard for our pre-K through 5 building was to encourage the use of masks when social distancing cannot occur. He said given the self-contained nature of these grades and the space available, creating social distancing is more of a challenge. Although space has been created, he said, the 6-foot rule is hard to achieve. These groups are in bubbles. He added that both principals observed the number of students wearing masks in grades PK through 5 was around 10%. About 3 weeks ago, Governor Kim Reynolds issued a new directive on the use of quarantines for persons who may have been in close contact with an individual who tested positive. The director stated that, stated that when both a positive case and the close contacts in a positive case were wearing masks, the close contact doesn't have to quarantine. The basis of the change was to keep students who are not actually infected in school. And as a result, some schools have since required or mandated masks be used on campus or at events. During the discussion Wednesday night, board members Nicholas Hunt and Laura McLean said they were still in favor of a mask mandate. Hunt said he interprets the state policy changes, giving the district more emphasis to use a mandated mask policy and avoid quarantines. He said health and safety is the goal, keep kids in school and reduce absenteeism.
Also, I worry about cold weather coming on and the fact that kids will have to be inside more and our usual colds and flu will become more frequent.
Hunt says he spoke with the district registered nurse Laura Friend, who told him our numbers are going to get worse. He said district staff were worried about the positive numbers possibly going up in a possible hybrid situation. Hunt says also he's spoken with other districts which have mandated a mask policy if they are not social distancing about how things are going with those districts.
And they said it's working fine. The reason why they went to it is to keep the numbers down and to avoid the absenteeism, avoid the quarantine.
Hunt said the Griswold and Denison schools haven't had a problem with enforcement, mostly because peer pressure reinforces the need to wear a mask. Laura McLean said there are already some significant learning gaps between those who are in classrooms and who are being educated online. She said if masks are not or cannot be used, face shields are an option.
I hate to get us sort of locking ourselves into this like false binary choice of where either all of us are choking ourselves to death with this fabric in front of our face and yelling at children all the time, or, you know, we're walking around in complete freedom. Like, I think there's ways for us to find a way to make a policy that requires face covers without it needing to feel like we're removing everyone's American liberties.
Other board members were not keen on the mandate. No action was taken during last night's meeting. As expected, more continued in-depth discussion will take place at the board's next work session. Well, Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers reports this morning a vehicle pursuit yesterday afternoon led to multiple charges. On Wednesday at around 3:45 p.m., Brothers said officers attempted to stop a 1997 Chevrolet K1500 truck at 14th and Garfield after observing the vehicle failed to obey a stop sign. The vehicle failed to stop for officers and a pursuit ensued. The driver of the vehicle stopped at 20th and Garfield after traveling through residential areas at speeds of more than 70 miles per hour. Clarinda police arrested 44-year-old Anthony Wayne C. of Shambaugh for driving a vehicle while barred, possession of methamphetamine, felony eluding, failure to obey a stop sign, speeding, and littering. C. was being held in the Page County Jail on $12,000 bond pending a court appearance. Clarinda police were assisted in that pursuit and the arrest by the Fremont County Deputy Sheriff. The Pottawatomie County Attorney's Office reports a Council Bluffs police officer involved in a shooting incident on September 18th has been cleared of any criminal wrongdoing. No charges will be filed against Officer John Kubler after an investigation into the incident at the Council Bluffs Walmart parking lot. Authorities say he fired a shot from his handgun while being dragged several feet by an SUV driven by 29-year-old Ian James Liebarger of Omaha. Prior to the shooting, Kubler and another officer had approached Liebarger, who had been identified as an alleged drug dealer. The suspect ignored Kubler's orders to stop and entered his SUV. The officer smashed through the vehicle's window with his club to attempt to stop Liebarger from speeding away, but that didn't matter, or didn't help, I should say. That Kubler then fired a round from his gun. The bullet struck the vehicle, but did not strike Liebarger. Kubler was later treated for his injuries. Two men were arrested in Creston on separate charges. According to the Creston Police Department, 36-year-old Jamie Nan Torres of Creston was arrested at his home around 5:15 p.m. Wednesday. He faces a charge of harassment in the first degree. At around 12:15 this morning, 32-year-old Bryant Edward Adkins, also from Creston, was arrested for OWI third offense and harassment in the first degree. His cash or surety bond for Torres was set at $2,000, while Atkinson's bond was set at $7,000. A woman from Creston suffered suspected minor non-incapacitating injuries during an accident Tuesday afternoon. The Union County Sheriff's Office at 44-year-old Colleen Ann Reed was traveling westbound on Cromwell Road at around 2:50 p.m. when a vehicle crossed the center line and she swerved to avoid hitting it. Her 2002 Buick LeSabre entered the south ditch and apparently rolled over before coming to rest. Reed, who was wearing a seatbelt, became trapped in the car and was extricated by mechanical means before being transported by Medic 1 EMS to the hospital in Creston. Her car sustained about $6,000 damage and was declared a total loss. Reed had a suspended driver's license but was not issued a citation at the scene. Officials at the Harlan Police Department Wednesday reported just two arrests. Authorities say 42-year-old Brian Allen Mark of Harlan was arrested Wednesday morning following a call for service. Mark was transported to the Shelby County Jail and charged with assault. And on October the 6th, 25-year-old Emily Ray Aria Clausen of Harlan was arrested following a traffic stop. Clausen was transported to the Shelby County Jail and charged with theft in the second degree. She was also cited for having an improper rear lamp on her vehicle. Page County Sheriff's Office yesterday said deputies who responded to a report about a suspicious vehicle in the northwest part of the county on Tuesday came upon a vehicle being towed by another vehicle without the proper equipment. Those two vehicles were being followed by a third vehicle. During the investigation, deputies made contact with 49-year-old Mark Anthony Ross of Shenandoah. He was subsequently arrested for driving while license suspended, denied, or revoked. Ross was transported to the Page County Jail, where he later posted bond in the amount of slightly more than $491, pending further court proceedings. That is a check of news this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.